everyone. Morning, 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 morning. Good to see you, Anna, Russ, and Beth. Bethia, well done. Great to see you all this morning. We're somewhat different as a few people managed to get COVID. I mean, how irresponsible is that? So, outrageous. Many of us have already had it, of course, and we feel like, you know, Teflon, but. So we're a bit different in numbers this morning, but nonetheless, we make, you know, it's great to be here and to be worshiping together and to be hearing from the Lord. And I thought, Brian, your word was really challenging. I think there's one or two of us, me included, that probably need to repent in response to that. I think that was a word that actually results in a bit of repentance about status. It's so easy to associate status with the things that we have and accumulate, and actually, of course, it means it all burns in the end. It's just absolutely nothing. But actually, the ultimate status is knowing that we are a child of God. And as Mike brought from that word in Hebrews, He is faithful to us, His people, even when we are faithless. He is faithful, remarkably, remarkably faithful. So. Thanks everyone for kind of sharing and leading and being a church that wants to hear God and wants to hear what He's saying. So I am speaking this morning and preaching, and I want to got a few things to say, and also want to respond to that and give ourselves the opportunity to respond to that. And unfortunately, I don't have any slides. The Davis planning program didn't fit in any slide preparation into the rapid preparation of what was happening this morning. But nonetheless, you just got to look at me and or look and think about the things that I'm saying. You know, look out the window, wherever you want to look for a while. But you know, just hope I've got something to bless you with this morning. And we're going through a series called The Callings of the Church. And we've been looking at different callings. And last week we looked at the calling to be prophetic. And for those of you who are here, you remember Julian talked and taught a bit. And then we had Stuart give some really amazing testimony. I mean, raw, real testimony about what God was saying to him. And I would really encourage you to listen to it because I thought it was really profound. And we've also looked at the calling to be apostolic before. And I think we might have another one next week on the calling to be shepherds. Tori, are you doing? You're doing that, yeah. Next week. So you're not at the youth camp next week. You're.
I will be
So Tori will be next week. So it's really interesting as we go through this, as we look at the different callings of the church. And today, I am talking about that we are called to be an evangelistic community. I'm going to do that. I know we've already welcomed Russ and Harry, and I'm just so great to see you guys that you're with us. Thanks for coming down the road and bringing baby Bethia with you. I'm pretty hopeless at names, I'll be perfectly honest. And sometimes, you know, I can't even remember my own name. I just, you know, when you meet someone, and then you just get, yeah, just the you can go on for a long time not getting the name right. But Bethia, so great to see you. You know, there's something about Beth. Is that right? Did I get? No. Oh, right.
Bethia.
Bethia. Right.
Bethia.
Right. Okay. So you heard it here.
Beth.
So I mean, what I love about babies is that it's that miracle of birth, isn't it? Birth is an absolute miracle. And I always find it amazing. There's no, you know, every single baby and every single birth, there's always a story as this new life is brought into the world, from being hidden to emerging and being seen and being held and crying and being scared and being comforted. You know, every birth is an amazing story. No matter if the birth is calm, with lights dimmed, in a water pool, with dolphin music, or there may be some more slightly elongated or dramatic, exciting births. You know, whatever the story is, it's always amazing. And if you ask me about the birth of my three children, I can give you chapter and verse of all the details and what happened, the medical interventions or not, and Emma would probably tell me that she has a different perspective, obviously, but, you know, from my perspective, you know, and as many of you know, I was involved very heavily in one in as much as I helped deliver one of them, but Emma did all the work. I just caught the baby. So, but you know, that every birth has got it's a story. It's a story, and our own birth. There's a story. And for those of us who, you know, for Christians, for everyone who believes and follows Jesus, there is also a story for us, a story of birth. Because to be a Christian is to be born again, to be born of above, to be born of God. And that birth is no less a miracle than our natural birth. That new birth is unique and as miraculous as our own natural birth. And I don't think we should forget that. And we've all got a story. For those of us who believe in and follow Jesus, we all have a story of our new birth, our being born again. And that is a miraculous story. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story today, my story of salvation. But before we get there, I'll do a little bit at our big idea today, our kind of teaching bit. And it is about this calling of the church, that we are called to be an evangelistic community, a community which shares the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, he died for the sins of the whole world, he defeated death and sin, and then rose again and ascended into heaven. And that this is good news for all people, for all nations, it is good news. And we, as his church, as his people, his gathered community, are to be a community who shares this news, who shares this good news in both word and deed, sharing the love of Jesus and inviting others to hear about it and to receive this good news. That is who we are. That's who we are called to be, an evangelistic community with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And I feel verses that many of us will be familiar with, right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, known as the Great Commission. And I think these verses are so, so helpful in understanding and underpinning this for us as his people. So Matthew chapter 28. And of course, the run-up to the story is we've had this remarkable kind of coming together of all threads of the Gospel of Matthew. And we remember what we celebrate and remember at Easter is the death of Jesus. And then we remember the resurrection of Jesus. And then he appears to his disciples over several weeks. And then we have the ascension of Jesus. And in these last few verses of Matthew 28, it says this, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These verses are so key, so important in our understanding of this calling, that we are to be a sent people, a people who are commanded to go and make disciples of all nations, to be an evangelistic community that carries the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations. You know, we are to be actively involved in the work of the advance of the kingdom. And I must admit, when I got saved, I didn't realize quite what I was signing up to. No one really explained that. I know we often don't. We often individualize and personalize it, because salvation is personal. But actually, when we're born again into God's family, we're adopted into a massive plan to save all of mankind. I mean, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And we are part of that plan. It's not just about our salvation, but somehow it's about the salvation of the whole world. We're part of God's plan to cover the whole earth with the knowledge of the kingdom of God as waters cover the sea. That is remarkable. That it's not just about our salvation, but we're brought into God's master plan to work out his purposes for the whole planet, the restoration of all things. That's what we're born into and caught up into. And as a church, in this place, we want to play our part in this. The salvation of people in and around Perth and Perthshire. To see more people receive Jesus. To see more people receive him, to be discipled and added to his family, to his church. This is a key part of what we are called to be, to see his kingdom come here today so more people would know him. You know, to share the good news of the gospel in whether in our families or in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, wherever we find ourselves. This is what we are called to be and to do. Sometimes with words, sometimes with deeds, to be ambassadors of Jesus, living and breathing the good news that he is risen. But I think I want to, often when you hear these messages about being evangelistic, and if you've been in church long enough, you'd have heard maybe a dozen messages about, you know, being an evangelistic community, that's who we're to be. But I think what often is missing from these messages is the fact that it's really, really frightening. maybe it's just Rowan, you know, he's responding, but it is really quite scary. Years ago, I knew some people that worked in the, went regularly to the underground church in China. There's an official church, but then there's a massive underground church, which has just grown, you know, millions of people. And the remarkable thing, what they'd say to me is they'd go and they'd speak to these believers in China, and they would find out that everyone there wants to be an evangelist. That's what everyone wants to be. They want to be an evangelist. No one really wants to be a pastor. It's not the thing. No, the exciting thing is to be an evangelist. That's what they want to do. And what these people from the West were coming in to bring to China was actually, you need some pastors to pastor the people and to look after and shepherd the flock. And they were bringing this because, frankly, in the UK, I think the majority of people in church life are kind of drawn to pastoral shepherding ministry or teaching. There's not lots of people signing up to be an evangelist. That's not just the way we are. But it's funny, in other parts of the world, in other parts of the body of Christ, it is a totally different emphasis. And I'll be honest, in my experience in church in the UK, I'm not seeing lots and lots of people that are saying, sign me up to be an evangelist. It's just not how we are. Because for whatever reason, it is scary and it is frightening for all sorts of reasons. And I'm frightened and I'm scared. And I think we can sometimes carry a deep shame and disappointment about missed opportunities for sharing the gospel. And I've felt that very many times. And we can hear a message like this and sort of get built up with some courage and feel really, you know, feel really excited. And I'm going to change the world on Monday morning. And the Monday morning comes, oh, it's really quite frightening. And these people, they might not like me anymore. And in fact, they might say some things to me which is really unpleasant. And I might get over, you know, all sorts of things. It's really frightening. And I think we need to be real about how we feel about that. That for some of us, and me included, you can carry some real sense of guilt or shame about not really being the witness that Jesus has called me to be. A sense of a bit of guilt, actually. And it's the sort of sense of, oh, I'll be better, I'll try better next time, I'll do better next time, I'll take the opportunity, and next time never really comes. And we can carry that for quite some time. And I think we need to be real about it and not hide it away. I think we need to be real and not hide it away. For many of us, me included, there are stories where we know we've had an opportunity to share the gospel and we haven't, for whatever reason, really been able to take it. And I have those stories. And I've at times felt quite ashamed about that. And it may be others that have that feeling too. And I want to say to us today as his people, we are not condemned. If you feel that, like me, there is absolutely no condemnation for you. The Lord does not condemn you. He does not condemn you for however you feel that those opportunities have been not taken up or missed, or we haven't been what we're called to be. We are not condemned. It's okay. The Lord doesn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn you. You don't need to carry that feeling of disappointment or shame or condemnation, but actually receive grace. Receive grace. There is grace for you and for me in that. Now, I just want to take a moment just to pray about this, because I think there's, for some of us, there may be just things that we just need to be free of. We need to be free of that time that didn't work out, or the feeling of, oh, I'm not very good at this. To think the Father has some love and grace and mercy for us. So I'm going to pray just for a moment or two before we move on. And if you've been relating to what I say, just do some business with the Lord in your heart. He knows. He knows. And he is gracious and merciful and kind and loving and wants you to be free. So I'm going to pray just for a moment or two before we move on. Heavenly Father, thank you that there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ. Thank you, there is no condemnation. And that you come alongside us, Lord. And you lead us in grace and mercy and freedom. And I pray for us as your people here, that for those of us who feel shame or guilt about not sharing the gospel, Lord, I pray you would give us freedom. I pray we'd receive your mercy. And Lord, I pray we'd trust you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, every condemnatory thought would be gone, I pray, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray we'd silence those lies with the cross, with the power in the cross, that there is no guilt nor shame nor condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For we, Jesus, are in you. And there is no guilt nor shame in you. So, Father, I pray you would deliver us from all that condemnation into freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just really want you to receive. I really want you to receive. I really want to receive myself. Just know that grace. There is no condemnation for us. Okay, let's move on. And when we look at the life of okay, now I'm going to talk about my story. I'm going to talk about my story now before we kind of look at a few other things. So my story, so my testimony is, like a lot of people's, is fairly long and slightly convoluted at times, but I'll try and pick out the main point. So I was, as a young person, my family attended the local Anglican church, a fairly formal Church of England church where I grew up in the southwest of England. And there was no real sense of being kind of called to respond to Jesus. We just did church on and off. And I know always that I always had, from an early age, a sense of a belief in God. And I had a belief in God, but no one explained the gospel to me. And it wasn't until I went to a Christian camp, a summer camp, at a charismatic Catholic community. To take some time saying that, a charismatic Catholic community. I'm not a Catholic, but I was invited to a summer camp at a charismatic Catholic community. There is a very strong charismatic Catholic movement, really amazing. And all the genuflection, which I still don't understand, but nonetheless, there's, you know, God's moving powerfully in that part of his body. And I was invited there, and there was, this must be the summer of, I don't know, 91, who knows, like in the distant past. And I went along, and we had all the summer activities that you have in a summer camp. But every morning and every evening, we'd all pile into the barn, and it was a barn, sitting on bales of hay in Worcestershire. And there would be lots of worship and dancing and action songs, as you do when you're kind of 12, 13. And then and someone would maybe say a short message, very little preaching. And then they pray for the Holy Spirit to come, and God would just fall. And you thought, what on earth is going on? It was the early 1990s, so, you know, things were happening. And God would just do stuff, and it was absolutely amazing. And you think, and I remember just encountering the Holy Spirit and crying and crying and crying and crying, and not having a clue why, but something was happening. And I went to this camp every year for about 8 or 9 years, and just each summer, and each time I encountered God in a powerful, powerful way. And I think that was over those years was a process of me turning to Jesus. And that's all I can say is a process of me turning to Jesus. In between times, I went to things like, it doesn't exist anymore, it's called Crusaders, slightly inappropriate word now perhaps, but it was called Urban Saints, I think it's now called. You've probably all heard of Urban Saints, but it was Crusaders, and I went to that. And I remember some of the leaders at Crusaders, once a week you go along, you play football, fight the other boys, and then you sit down, sing Majesty, the old version, not the delirious version, and have a short gospel, Bible message. And that's what you did, and you turn up, and, you know. And you know, and the amazing thing about that, going to that crusader week, every week, is that there were people there who just serve. They would rock up, and they'd serve. And they would lead you and play with you, and they'd just be there. They'd just be there and serve. And I remember one or two of them. One happened to be my maths teacher at school, which didn't go quite so well, because I frankly wasn't very good at maths. But I remember they identified that God was at work in my life, and they used to take me to some other kind of Christian events that were happening in the town, and they'd just get alongside me and take me to places and to expose me to either teaching or encounters with God. And if I look back through all those years, not a single person, I would say, would count themselves as an evangelist who had an impact in my life. Not a single person. But do you know what? They were part of his body, and they all wove into me the tapestry of the purposes and word of God through their individual acts and deeds. Probably sometimes very little for a short period of time, but actually somehow God used every single one of those people to do his work in me, drawing me to him, helping me to see him and understand him and understand who he was and what he was saying to my life. And my testimony is very different from Emma's, who went to a Billy Graham kind of convention and received the gospel. I don't think a single person ever preached the gospel to me in that time, but they did by their deeds and actions and just showing love and being there and present. And the reason I'm saying this is, you know, for many of us, we might not feel like we're Billy Graham. You know, I don't think many of us do. There may be one or two of us that feel a strong evangelistic call, but actually we don't have to be. Just by simple acts of being who you are called to be, a child of God, by showing love, compassion, a kind word, a kind deed, we can display the love and purpose and the good news found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's to our family, whether it's to a young person in the church, an older person in the church, whether it's to our neighbor, our work colleague, a distant cousin, whoever it may be. We can display the goodness of God. And my story is one of 100 different people at times impacting my life in very small ways, but God using that to bring about his purpose of salvation, of redemption, and restoration of me to the Father, so that I was born again at some point in that long journey, and I have absolutely no idea when, but I know that he was reaching out to me and grabbing hold of me, and I was responding at times. Sometimes I wasn't responding, but then when I was, he was just drawing me to him through all the work of those different people. Yeah, and I feel that through that the purpose of God was worked out. And it's an encouragement to me that I don't kind of stand here, and this is why I felt slightly intimidated preaching on this. I don't stand here as an evangelist. I don't stand here as someone with a massive evangelistic fruit, but I stand here as someone who knows that actually through my small deeds at times, God's purposes can be worked out. And I want to encourage us as his people that you might not feel like an evangelist. That this whole call to be an evangelistic community might feel very alien to you. You might feel that I can't do that. I just can't do that. That's not me. But do you know what? What is you? It's to share a kind word or a kind deed. What is you? It's just to get alongside someone and be present. What is you? It's to be faithful. Because, you know, something that marks this church out is faithfulness. Is faithfulness. And I look across this room and I see remarkable faithfulness in every single person. And if all the sick people with COVID come back next week, it will be the same. There is remarkable faithfulness in this church. We are a people who are faithful. We turn up and do the stuff. Every one of you turns up and does the stuff. It's amazing. It is amazing. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of us as his people. We turn up and do the stuff. And do you know what the Lord calls us to in evangelism? Yeah, he calls us to be fruitful. But do you know what? We're not. He makes the fruit. He calls us to be faithful. And fruitfulness will come. He calls us to be faithful. Be faithful. And you know, guys, we are faithful. We are faithful people. You are a faithful church. We are a faithful church. And that's what he calls us to. He calls us to faithfulness. in sharing that good word and that kind deed. I want to come back to Matthew 28 before I want to pray again. And I'm going to reread it. And there's some really important things to hear, because I've talked to you about various different things, but I want to give you a promise now. So back to Matthew 28. And Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm a long way off, and I'll see you at the end." Is not what it says. "And surely I am with you. I am with you always, to the very end of the week." No, the month, the year, the decade, no, the age. He is with us always, the very end of the age. And when we feel weak, when we feel powerless, when we feel faithlessness, do you know what? The Lord is faithful to his people. He does not abandon us. He does not leave us. He does not walk out on us when we fail him. He is faithful, and he is with us. He is with us. That is his promise. He is with us. We need to hear that. Because in the moments of fear, in the moments of doubt, in the moments of, "Lord, what have I missed again?" You know, he is with us. He is with us. That is so key. And as we, for many of us that know the Bible well, we'll know what happens next. If we skip through the Matthew, Luke, and John, we come to the book of Acts. And there's some verses here which is so helpful to understand. At the beginning of Acts, it's recorded again, chapter 1. Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then he says to them again, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of Persia." The end of the world in those days. The end of the world. No, there's a key thing here. You know, because Jesus gave them that promise in Matthew 28. And then what the disciples do, they did pretty much nothing. And to spend time praying, waiting. Then what happened? We see in it's recorded in Acts, Pentecost, the Spirit, God's empowering presence is poured out on his people. What happens? They preach the gospel. People are saved. Evangelism happens. And people are added to the church. It's a key thing. We need to know he is with us. And he is with us by his Spirit. God's empowering presence on earth. Remarkably, Jesus had to go so the Spirit could come. There's a mystery in that which I can't understand or explain. But he said, it's for their good, he said to his disciples. "It's for your good that I go, so he can come." And he went, the Spirit came, and the disciples were empowered. Peter stands up and preaches this remarkable, remarkable message. You know, where'd the fear go? It's somewhere in there, but it's been overcome by power and boldness. And as we think about what it means to be an evangelistic community, we need to know the power of God. I need the power of God. We need to know his presence and his power to help us overcome fear. To help us to overcome fear. And in a word or a deed, maybe even a Peter message, who knows, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got a few minutes, but I would love to pray for us to receive the power of God. To receive his power. To receive his power, that we might be a community of faithful people to the calling to be an evangelistic community. So do you mind just standing, if that's okay, for those of you who can? And yeah, come up, Rowan. Rowan's just going to play. And I'm just going to pray, and I just encourage you just to open your heart and mind and soul and look to the Lord. You may wish to open your hands, it's not essential, but just to look to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for his power to come. And we're just going to take a couple of moments to do this. Just that he would come. It's not about me. It's not about you, it's actually about what he's doing, and I believe he's at work in us today. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this call that you've placed on our life, but Lord, but you do not leave us as orphans. You do not set this up and leave us to get on with it, Lord, but you come and you empower us for witness. You empower us to be carriers of the gospel and to share it, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you breathe on us this morning. Holy Spirit, would you fall on us, I pray. Would you breathe on us, I pray. And would you come and fill us with your power. I pray you fill us with your power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit, and if you want to receive more of God this morning, I just encourage you in the quietness of your heart to say, Lord, would you fill me with your power? In the quietness of your heart and soul, would you just call on the Lord and say, Lord, would you fill me with your power?